Good morning. Before I begin, I feel I need to make my now rather familiar reminder that I'm pre-recording this, and I'm recording it on Thursday afternoon, which is just a few hours after the extraordinary and shameful events that have unfolded in Washington, D.C. So the dust hasn't yet settled on that. As far as I can see, things have calmed down, but who knows in this ever-changing world what the next 48 hours might bring. I think the only thing I can bring to the party is from Proverbs 16, beginning at verse 27, that says, "Scoundrels concoct evil, and their speech is like a scorching fire. A perverse person spreads strife, a whisperer separates close friends. The violent entice their neighbours and lead them in a way that is not good." I think I'll maybe just leave it at that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word available to us. I thank you for the examples we see of you working through scripture as well as through history. And we pray that as we look at this passage, we would learn from you and we would draw closer to you by your spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and blown. Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. I had to work hard not to burst into song in that. It was Jerry Marsden's death last Sunday, Jerry of Jerry and the Pacemakers fame, and this is his most famous song. I remember singing it as a neutral at Anfield, the home of Liverpool Football Club, with 60,000 others. And I have to say, it was a spine-tingling moment, almost a quasi-religious moment. But it's a song which feels very appropriate as we consider our current storms through the lens of the storm that shipwrecked Paul. Just look at the song. It talks of holding our head up high. Let's not get despondent. Not being afraid of the dark. Let's look towards the one who is the light. It says, when we get to the end, there's going to be a golden sky and a lark song, and therefore we can walk on with hope. And of course, you'll never walk alone. We know that we have Jesus walking beside us, and also we have other members of the body of Christ beside us. But maybe rather than unpacking the lyrics of that song, I should probably examine a bit more closely the words of Acts 27. Let's just recap where we've got to in this story. Paul has met death threats in Jerusalem when he travelled there to bring the offerings from his travels. And as a Roman citizen, he ended up finding refuge, ironically, in jails, in Roman jails. They were the safest place for him to be. And through that process, he presented his case to tribunes, governor, local kings, and then appealed to Caesar. And that appeal to Caesar led to him being shipped off to Rome, where he could make his appeal directly. So we meet him on a Mediterranean cruise. Okay, a prison ship, a cargo ship and prison ship all in one go. And what started off as a moderate south wind, verse 13, turns into a violent storm in verse 14. So let's just think where Paul's at. He's being tossed about in a storm. He's carried along by events. He has no control over what's happening. He's a prisoner. He has no authority in that place. And the storm is overwhelming. What can he do? Well, interesting enough, in spite of the lack of any positional leadership, he takes it upon himself to speak, and he seems to be heard. It just shows that leadership is not about position, but about influence. He has a confidence that comes out of his closeness to God. That's a more general closeness, but also very specifically, we read that an angel has told him he will pull through, he will pull through, they will all pull through. And he has faith that the plan then remains. Interesting enough, that doesn't, of course, stop him sensing the need to act. And interesting enough, it doesn't stop him saying, "I told you so, we really shouldn't have sailed," which is probably not a great tactic in terms of garnering support. But he says there will be consequences. There's going to be damage. There's going to be loss. There will be consequences of earlier poor decisions. That's what gets talked about there in verse 21. But what does he say and what happens? There's just five things I want to highlight this morning. First of all, in both verses 22 and 25, he says, let's keep up our courage. He's a person of hope, and he then spreads hope. He says, this is a rocky journey, but we will get through this. It's a rocky journey, but we will get through this. And notice this isn't just some kind of blind optimism. You know, he says in verse 22, we'll get through it. We are going to lose the ship. Verse 26, yeah, they are going to run aground. So it's not a blind optimism of everything's going to turn out okay and we'll all be happy. But it's faithful perseverance towards a secure end. And that's not the same thing. It's also not fatalism. It's just, it's not kind of, well, everything's going to be all right, so I don't have to do anything. We see faith and action going together strongly. He has faith in God reaching his desired ends, but knows that he has to act also to bring that about. And surely there's learning for us in this storm. It's a rocky journey, but we will get through this. And let's just remember some of Paul's troubles. You know, he says when he's locked up in a jail in Philippi, you know, I've learnt the secret of being in plenty and also being without, and to know peace in the midst of either. That's Philippians 4:12. Or think of the persecuted church around the world, who seem a lot more secure often in their trust, in their faith, than those of us who aren't facing persecution. That gives Paul strength for himself and the ability to bring courage, to pour courage in, to encourage others. He says, let's keep up our courage. Let's say the same thing to each other now. Let's keep up our courage. Secondly, he says, don't abandon ship. That's in verses 31 and verse 32. Some of the sailors tried to escape. It was all too tough for them, and they thought the best thing to do was just to jump overboard. But every man was needed. There were a lot of sailors on that ship, and everyone was needed to play their part in surviving this storm. And one of the problems that I feel as your vicar, as your church leader at this time, is I don't know who's with us. I don't get to see you on a casual basis. Have some abandoned ship? I don't know. People I haven't seen for months may be very faithful in engaging with the services and engaging on their daily walk with God and being part of their small, their roots groups or other small ministry areas. And I have no idea. Or they may be struggling, really struggling, and I have no idea. Or they may have just quietly disappeared off and got attracted by the ways of the world or other things. It's so easy in the midst of this time of isolation to drift away. Hence my call that I gave unashamedly in my message in the middle of the week, that we should all invest in our relationship with God, in our relationship with each other, in our relationship with those who don't yet know the Lord, and also our relationship with ourselves as we seek to look after ourselves. And I encourage us not to give up meeting together by whatever means. As I've said, whether that's virtual or whether it's going on walks, whether it's phone calls, all those different means that we have available to us. And let's not give up on God in the midst of this. Let's not abandon ship. Even as I say this, I realise that I'm kind of preaching to the converted because you're the ones who are listening to this. But I do hope and pray that if you're someone who is teetering on the edge, you would know the Lord holding on and pulling you back. And do talk to someone. Do phone them and engage with them. Thirdly, Paul says, you need to eat to survive, verses 33 and 34. Now, there's a little bit of the practical in that. You know, I said earlier in the week, enjoy some treats, make sure we look after ourselves properly. I think I'd like to give this a bit of a spiritual twist, if I may. You know, the sailors haven't eaten for 14 days there, it says. They're not on a fast. They're just so working full time to keep the ship afloat that they kind of didn't seem to get round to eating. But with the reminder that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, I take this eating to survive being a reminder of our need for a personal devotional life, ensuring that we get well fed. Fourthly, they're encouraged to lighten the load. We see that in verses 18, 19 and 38. You know, to survive this storm, they threw out, first of all, the cargo. If you throw out the cargo, you've got nothing to sell when you get to the other end, so no income. So that was a pretty significant decision. Then they throw out the ship's tackle, which which of course then makes it harder to navigate and manage the ship. And ultimately, they throw out the food, which makes it harder to survive. In other words, these are desperate times. They're throwing out vital stuff. They're not just getting rid of the ornaments that they can cope without. Vital stuff that they're getting rid of. Important stuff. And again, it makes me reflect on our own journey over these months. You know, we've stopped many things. We've changed many things. You know, we've had to ask ourselves, you know, the question, all the activities that we've had in the past, some of which we've had to stop, were they all fruitful? Or were we just running around sometimes being overly busy but not achieving much? I asked myself that question. And I think the challenge for us as we move into 2021, still not being sure of timescales and how things will work, is not just to build back for things as they were before, but to build back better. To build back better as church, to build back better as individuals. Not just returning to how things were, but taking this as a real opportunity to bring good out of bad as we move forward. Fifthly, verse 39, let's expect new lands. Eventually, in the midst of this awful storm, they come to a new land, but it's not a land that they recognise. It's not where they intended to get to. It's Malta rather than Italy. Just imagine if they'd said, that's not where we want to go. We don't want to land on that bit of land, so we're not going to go there. Let's turn away. They would have just got completely shipwrecked and drowned. They needed to find the land that was not recognised by them and not intended. And that's where they found a safe harbour, a safe future. And for us, the future may look very different from what we expected. Similarly to my last point, let's not pine for what maybe had been intended, and in doing so, miss out on where we get to, because it may be a very different place. Five simple lessons, I believe, from this story. Let's keep up our courage. Let's not abandon ship. Let's make sure we eat well spiritually to survive. Let's take, as we lighten the load, let's use that opportunity to think about what is core and what is important. And as we look forward, let's expect new lands. It might not be what we were intending, but it may just be God's plan for us. I know that metaphors, images are not perfect, but in this storm, let's see some lessons and try to heed them. Amen.